We're doing the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, the second Shoresh, the Ramban, page Chafal Hamad Aleph, or page 41 in the standard editions, page Nun Vav in the Frankel editions, Umikol Makom, I guess in the Frankel editions it's the middle of the left column, in the regular editions it's about 7 lines from the bottom, Umikol Makom. Aval pi shenitbarer davar zeh, even though he says, you know, I really clarified this point about Kiddushei Kesef being biblical. Adayin anu b'tzar gadol in klalo shel Rav. Nonetheless, we're very troubled with the general rule of the rabbi, of the Rambam. Shadayin yesh lo pitchon peh, because he could still have a claim. Lomar b'shar advarim an medim behekesh sheinan min haTorah min hastam. And they'll say, you know, every other hekesh, every other derivation, that's not biblical. That the ezominam for a shot bidivrehen, shehin Torah, afalpishin mendog zirat shava. He'll say, you know what? I told you there are exceptions where Chazal tell you it's biblical, even though it's gzir shava. So this is one of those exceptions. Kmoshe kedushei shtar etzlo doraita, just as he has no problem holding that the document, the kedushei shtar, is biblical, afalpishin lomdum bekesh, even though they derived it with a hekesh. And the hekesh is, it says in the Torah, the yatzeah v'aita, that if a husband divorces his wife, she will go out of his home and marry someone else. So we say, why are these two juxtaposed? To show you that they're equated. The leaving of his home and entering someone else's home are equated in that ma yatzeah b'shtar, just as she leaves his home, he can divorce her with the document. Afhavaya, so to the effect of marrying, can also be done bishtar with the document. That's what Maimonides might claim. He might say, okay, so you got it on one, fine. So Kedushei Kesef is biblical, okay, so I'll learn the Gemara like the Ramban, and then it turns out that the Gemara simply told you that this one is biblical. Fine, that doesn't disprove the Rambam's whole second principle here. It says that this is one exception. Fine. The Rambam said there were exceptions.
He said there were exceptions?
Sure. He said if they tell you that this is a fundamental, if they tell you this is biblical, so it is.
But I thought they had to say the words.
No.
No?
No.
So how do you know if they're telling you
that? In context, you see. Is a man prohibited from having relations with his daughter biblically? There's no pasuk that says it. There's a pasuk that discusses his granddaughter.
Okay.
There's a pasuk that discusses his wife's daughter. But what about his own daughter? A girl that's the daughter of his and his wife. So that's a fortiori. You know, if you're not allowed to marry your wife's daughter, you're not allowed to marry your granddaughter, then yeah, I sort of figure out you can't marry your own daughter. Right?
Okay,
But according to the Rambam, is that biblical? So the Rambam says, yes, it is. The derivation from the pasuk is a kal v'chomer. But the halacha is doraisa. Meaning the Rambam said there are things that are doraisa, even though the source seems to be, meaning that the place where you place it, you say, I got it from a kal v'chomer. You want to know where in the pasuk I have it? I don't have a clear indication, but it's still biblical.
But when he's learning the Gemara, how does he know that it's biblical?
Okay, so in each case, you have to see the indication.
I thought that they actually had to say the words. This is a
no.
Bidyan Torah.
No, they have to indicate it to you. They don't have to say the words.
So he didn't explain how they indicate it.
In which case?
As a general rule, how do you know?
Sometimes they indicate it to you, like the case of Shtar. They say there has to be a way of marrying a girl with her retaining her virginity. Right? The Torah refers to that concept. So then there has to be such a concept, midoraisa.
So only when it's a drasha that you could say it doesn't have to be true.
Not true. The Rambam says they're all true. It's not a question of whether it's true or not.
No, but I'm saying, but this is logical. The logic of the derivation is a must. Like the kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer.
No. All the derivations are true. That's what the Rambam keeps stressing. It's true.
I know it's true. But in this case, you can't argue. The Rambam just proved the point. And therefore, because you can't argue with the Ramban. The Ramban, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't argue with the logic of the Ramban, which is from the Gemara.
Mm-hmm. No, not so simple, not so simple. Rashi quotes a shita like the Rambam too. Rashi's Rebbeim seem to have learned like the Rambam too, Bekedushe Keset. Don't be so quick to side with the Ramban. Right now, you've heard the Ramban, so you're very convinced.
But let's say it was, you can argue, that's the type of thing where you would say that, okay,
fine,
indicating
then
to,
fine, okay, right.
But when it's something like that, you could say, no, that's not, that doesn't have to be true. Or that doesn't have,
it doesn't have to be true, I don't get that.
I'm saying that there's a difference between saying, ah, this word and that word means that they're both part of the klal, and therefore it's biblical. There's a difference between that and saying, look at the Torah, and see, the Kal Vachomer with the grand...
It's not a question of it true. It's not a question of true. It's not fair, because then every Kal Vachomer you have to say that on. And the Rambam clearly said, all of the 13 laws of derivation are true. I'm not questioning whether they're true or not. That's not the point. The question is it Doraisa or Divrei Sofrim? Okay. Let's open up to Mitzvah Shin Lamed Vav. Prohibition Shin Lamed Vav. We're going off on a slight tangent, but it's an important tangent. Prohibition Shin Lamed Vav. It's towards then. They're all Shin Samechei prohibitions, right? Remach Aseis and Shin Samechei Los Aseis. Vamitzvah Shin Lamed Hei. 366. I'm sorry. Shin Lamed Vav. He says, Irani Megelot Tovata Bat Atzma. It's a prohibition from living with one's own daughter. Now, if you look back at 334, you see Shin Lamed Daled is the prohibition from having relations with one's son's daughter, granddaughter from the son. Shin Lamed Hei is the prohibition from having relations with one's daughter's daughter, meaning son's daughter, daughter's daughter, two prohibitions in the Torah from having relations with the granddaughter. Now, what about his own daughter? So that says the Rambam, that's Mitzvah Shin Lamed Vav. V'zot lo yitbara b'firush b'Torah. And the Torah doesn't explicitly prohibit living with one's own daughter. It says a granddaughter from your son, a granddaughter from your daughter, but it doesn't say your own daughter. Lo banan urvat bitcha lo tegale. If you don't have a verse that says, do not reveal the privacy of your own daughter. V'omnam shatak mimena lebiur hadaval. The Torah is silent of this because it's so clear. Because if the Torah tells you you're prohibited from revealing the privacy of your granddaughter from your son and your granddaughter from your daughter, then it seems pretty obvious that your own daughter has to be respected. And the Talmud tells us in Yevamos, the prohibition of one's own daughter is a derivation. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi taught me, says Rabbah, that the derivation is, it says the word heina in two places, it says the word zima in two places, to indicate this prohibition. Klomar. Shewamar bebat bincha uvat bitcha, where the Torah says with regard to one's son's daughter and one's daughter's daughter, meaning one's granddaughter either through the son or the daughter, irvatcha heina, they are your own private parts. Don't reveal them. V'amar v'yisur isha uvita, uvat bina uvat bita, and when the Torah discusses a woman, that one is prohibited from living with a woman and her granddaughter, be it from her daughter or from her son, there's a biblical prohibition. You cannot marry your wife's granddaughter, even though she's not your granddaughter. You can't marry a woman and her daughter, a woman and her mother, nor can you marry a woman and her granddaughter from the son or the daughter. The Torah there describes, Shahaheina zimahi. They are an extension, these women, and therefore this would be a hideous act, zimahi. So it uses the word heina in both cases, and then it uses the word zima over here. Hine kmo shebi isur isha uvat bina uvat bita, nesra bita gamkin. Just as when we speak about a woman, that one is prohibited from living with her and her granddaughters, be it the granddaughter from the daughter or from the son, and the Torah clearly prohibits her own daughter as well, Meaning you have one pasuk that prohibits her granddaughters. You have another pasuk that says a woman and her daughter you may not live with. There's a separate prohibition on her daughter. Can be su bat bino bat bito, but the same token when it comes to his own granddaughters, his son's daughter and his wife, his daughter's daughter, nesla bito gamkin. We derive from this that when it comes to his own grandchildren, it's not only the grandchildren, it's their mother as well. It's his own daughter as well. So that's with regard to the prohibition. We know that the Torah teaches us there has to be a verse that prohibits, there has to be a separate verse that punishes he who does it. You don't derive punishments from derivations either. It says in the Torah, a man who marries a woman and her mother, that's a hideous act. They get the death penalty by fire, he and they. And by the same token, a woman and her granddaughters from the son or daughter, also the same death penalty, being that the Torah describes that as zima as well. And we have a derivation. It says zima with regard to granddaughters. It says zima with regard to daughter. By daughter, by a woman and her daughter, it clearly states the death penalty. So by the same token, her granddaughters also have the same death penalty. V'hu adin, and the same holds true, lebito uvat beno uvat bito linyan onesh. When it comes to the punishment, what happens if he lives with his own daughter or granddaughters? Same punishment. Because we said, the word heina by his granddaughters teaches me to heina by his wife's daughter. By his wife's daughter, it says the punishment of Shrefa. It uses the term heina with regard to his own granddaughters, just like a woman and her daughter, where it explicitly states the punishment of the death penalty. Okay, this was all Gemara. Now the Talmud increases. Till now this was a Gemara in Yevamos. The Talmud increases, tells us, Al tehei gzera shava kala beinecha. Don't take the gzera shava lightly. Sharei bito echad megufei Torah. For the prohibition of one's own daughters is... Oh, this seems to be a proof to Mr. Frankel here. The Gemara spells it out. It's a body of Torah of lelamda katuv elam gzera shava. And the Torah derives it from a gzera shava. At yainain, at yazima zima. They have been umram. Now I want you to understand, says the Rambam, what do they mean when they say lo lamda hakatuv? The verse didn't teach it. They lo amru lo lemadnuha. The Talmud did not say we didn't derive it. The Talmud didn't say we didn't derive it in any other way other than gzeir shava. The Talmud says the Torah didn't teach it in any way other than gzeir shava. Two different points. Look at how the Rambam went down to the fine points of how the Gemara words it. Because these things are a tradition from the great messenger Moshe Rabbeinu, peace be upon him. Then pirush mikubal, and this is an understanding that we have on tradition. This is the way it is. His own daughter is biblically prohibited. As we explained in our introduction to the great work, the commentary on the Mishnah. Yeah.
By virtue of the fact that in the Gemara they said that the Torah doesn't teach it any other way, the Rambam is learning that this is something directly from the Moshe Mesuna.
I don't know. I don't know if the Rambam is coming to bring a source for his opinion or a support for his opinion. I'm not convinced that that's the source for his opinion.
But what does he need it anyways? He's got them saying that
right? Maybe he's... He's trying to defend his position. Not that this is the source for his position, but he's saying, you'll tell me, Mr. Rambam, according to you, there's no such thing as a Gzeira Shava that's Doraisa, unless it's a body of Torah, something they have on tradition from Moshe. The Talmud seems to say, look, it's derived from Gzeira Shava. Rambam says, no, it's not derived from Gzeira Shava. It's the way I said, it's from Moshe. In the psukim, you can't see it in any other way other than Gzeira Shava. Meaning, I think the way I read the Rambam is not that that's the source for what he's saying, but rather that's his defense for his position. That's the way I read the Rambam. I could hear that you read otherwise, but that's the way I see it.
But what do you mean? When how is he telling us when do we know? When do we know if it's...
They said it's a body of Torah.
They said it here, you're right. So do they have to say it everywhere?
Wait, I first wanted you to see this. In a minute, we'll see another source. 1 second.
And so this is a Gezeirah Sheva, not a Kalvachomer.
Doesn't matter. According to the Rambam, they're all the same.
I'm just saying that you mentioned
it. Right. ואומנם שתק הקרוב מלזוכה להיות אפשר להתלמד בגזרת שווה. The pasuk was silent from mentioning this prohibition because you could learn it out of גזרת שווה. וזה עניין אומרם לא למדה כתוב אלא מגזרת שווה וספיק אומרם גוף תורה. It was enough that they said this is a body of Torah. They didn't have to tell you more than that. That's telling you it's biblical. Okay, the rest are the details of the mitzvah. So far, so good? Okay, now let's go back to mitzvah Kuf Ayin Beis. The prohibition Kuf Ayin Beis.
Okay.
Says the Rambam. He she'ezirano me'achol be'emat t'me'ah v'chayat t'me'ah. The Torah prohibits eating an impure animal or an impure wild animal, and that's what the verse says. Torah says these are the animals you may not eat, although they chew their cud. You may not eat the camel, you may not eat the rabbit, you may not eat the other type of rabbit, you may not eat the pig. Now when it comes to other impure animals, there is no clear prohibition, because the Torah says here's what I don't want you to eat. And the Torah says, here are the animals that chew their cud, but do not have split hoofs. Say, don't eat them. Aval me'omrobo, when the Torah does say, kol be'ma ma'pris parsa ma'alat gera ba'be'ma ota tocheilu, the Torah says, here's what you do eat. The animals that both have a split hoof and chew their cud. Those are the animals you will eat. That's a clear indication. Hinei odia shekol mi she'en bo shnei hasimanim eilu. The Torah made known that whatever animals do not have these two signs, yachad together, humuzam echilato, he is warned not to eat those animals. Okay. But, aval, hulav haba michlal asei, the Torah words it positively. It says this is what you should eat, clearly indicating that the others should not be eaten. That's called a lav, a prohibition. Haba michlal asei. That comes from an understanding of a proactive mitzvah. Torah says this is what you should. I understand the others that you shouldn't, but it doesn't say a prohibition about them. It just says an asay. And Allah vaba michlal asay sheet be'ershu asay. That the bottom line is we say la vaba michlal asay is an asay. So then there isn't any prohibition. There's a proactive commandment. This is what you should eat. Okay, I understand by default what I can't eat. No prohibition so far. So how does the Rambam quote this? It's one of the prohibitions. And we have the principle that a lav haba michlal asei, if the pasuk spoke in a positive fashion and I inferred the prohibition, so then that has the status of an asei and you don't even get lashes for it. It's not a lav. But says the Rambam, you do get makis if you eat any other animal or wild animal. Bekal vachomer. Because you understand their prohibitive nature in the lav from a kal vachomer. You understand we're entering troubled waters according to the Rambam. Kal vachomer according to the Rambam shouldn't be biblical. Shanu umrim, because what we say is the following. You have two animals that the Torah says have one sign of purity, meaning they chew their cud, and nonetheless the Torah says, Lokin alav, you get lashes if you eat that. Kal vachomer leshar beima vechayashin len simanta raklal shelokin alein. I would say it's a fortiori that when it comes to any other animal that does not have any sign of purity, that you get makas if you eat them. Right? That's what I would say. So what do I need? That's what the Rambam's saying. The Shema Lashon Sifra. Now I want you to hear how the Sifra words it. That Sifra de Berav, a Medrash compiled by Rav. Bechol ze. Listen to what the Sifra says about all this. Amro, when the Torah said, Otah tocheilu, that you shall eat, the Torah says the animal that has a split off and chews its cut, that's the animal you shall eat. Otah ba'achila, ven be'emat me'ah ba'achila, that you may eat, and a defiled animal you may not eat. En li ela ba'aseh, we understand that's an aseh. So the Sifra says, this pasuk only gives me an aseh, prohibiting me to eat those animals. Bilot aseh minayin, how do I know that all the animals that do not have both signs have a lot aseh? Tilmod lomar, etzeh lo tochelu mimale agera. These are the animals that you should not eat, although they chew their cud. En li ela elu bilvad, from this pasuk I only know about those animals, the camel, the pig, or the kid that has split offs, but the pig has split offs, whatever. But at least they have one sign. Shal be'mav chayat ma'minayin. How do I know all other defiled animals are prohibited with the lav? V'dinu. Says the Sifra, it's a kal v'chomer. Ma'elu shesh ben siman tararein belo ta'aseh l'chilatan. If these have at least one sign of purity, nonetheless, there is a lava overeating them. Shal be'mat ma'ashe in basiman taraklal in odin shetei belo ta'aseh l'chilatan. Isn't it certain that if you have no sign of purity, those animals should have a lav?
Well, what kind of kalvachomer is that? It's just saying that, I mean, you're not saying that having one sign is better than having no signs. What difference does it make if it has one or no signs? If it has to have two signs or it's nothing. Why would you say that because it has one sign, it's a little bit less unkosher?
That's an excellent question, which deserves an excellent answer, which will take us the next half hour. So I don't think we should go into that now. Try. There are two stages when we discuss halacha and derivation. There's the bottom line, and there's how I got there. Meaning, you're right that in the bottom line, a pig is not more kosher than an animal that has no signs. You're right. The Torah says I need two or else I'm nothing. But you have to remember that when we're working within the system of the Torah, trying to understand what the Torah is telling me, I don't know that yet. Meaning, you're right that at the end of the day, there's a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal, and if it's not kosher, then it's nothing. And there's no difference whether it has a split-offs or not split-offs, chooses cut, not chooses cut. If it doesn't got both, it got nothing. Right, true. But that's at the end. That's after I finished working everything out. On the surface, when I'm working within the system, so the Torah tells me two signs is kosher. One sign is not. So it's very logical. Torah is also telling me that no sign is not, right? No sign is for sure not better than one sign, right? So you're right that when I say one sign is not, that makes him just as non-kosher as the no sign. That's true. But what it teaches me is that no sign is for sure not, right? That's it. To be expanded in the future. I mean, there's a lot. Okay, this was a rough draft. One day we have to discuss this at greater length. But this part, it's understandable, yeah? It's something which has to be learned. What are the parameters that we're willing to entertain? Because you understand what we're doing here is we're saying, who said anything's not kosher? We're starting from zero ground. And the question is, how zero ground do you go? Meaning, what are your givens, what are not your givens? And that's something which, over time, you'll start learning the system within the Gemara. Should I add? Because it's worth adding another point. Okay. Till here we're together, right? Adkan, you're with me so far. We're just going on a side tangent once we open this topic. So
I just want to clarify one detail. What you said.
I'm with you.
What you said before was that two signs is kosher, and one sign is not kosher. And one sign goes being not kosher, we can learn that zero signs kosher is for sure not kosher.
Right.
And that's the strength that one has over zero.
Who said one has any strength over zero?
I thought that's what you were implying.
I'm not saying there's more, it has any. I might have thought one has more than zero. What I know is that if one's not kosher, for sure zero is not kosher. Is one any more kosher than zero? As far as we know, not.
Okay.
It's not kosher. We don't know of a middle ground.
Okay.
So far, so good?
Wait, what was your...
Tangent?
No, what was that answer then? You were answering my question about how you can make a homer from zero to one.
From one to zero, okay, yeah.
What was your answer? I mean, I thought I understood it. I thought you gave an answer. What did you say?
I'm saying that you're right at the end of the day that they're both just as non-kosher.
Okay.
But when I'm working from within the system, I first look at pasuk number one, tells me you need two to be kosher. Then I look at pasuk number two, and that tells me that one is not enough. One is not kosher. Now I take case number three, which is not discussed in the Pesukim, and that's a case where I have zero. So you'll tell me, well, is that any different than one? And I'll tell you, okay, so it's not different than one. That's a Kal v'Chomer. I'm not saying it has to be worse than one. I'm just saying it's not going to be more kosher than one. If one is no good, then for sure zero is no good.
So you can use that as a Kal
v'Chomer. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah? Are you with me, or am I going to confuse if we go on a tangent? You with me? Okay. We went, let's call it left. We went to one side now. We went to the extreme of not knowing what the Torah is trying to tell me. And then I'm working from within the system trying to go, okay, if I have A and I have B, so what will be the case if I see? There is a time when we work the way you were suggesting, where I say, wait a second, when the dust settles, what do I have here? And this is especially relevant for the Rambam, because very often the Gemara discusses, where do I know a halacha from? And it says, is it Pasuk 1 that seems to be very clearly say that halacha? And the Gemara says, no, that pasuk teaches me totally different halachos. I use it with laws of derivation for something else. Is it pasuk 2 No, even though that pasuk would also seem to clearly indicate it, with my laws of derivation, I use that for something else. So where do you get it from? Ah, pasuk 3. You apply this, you apply that, you do the other thing, okay, now the pasuk teaches you this halacha. Right? The Gemara does that often. It has a pasuk that seems to say it clearly. Gemara says no. It has a pasuk that seems to say it a little less clearly. No. So where do I know it from? A third pasuk that doesn't seem to say it at all, but with the laws of derivation I derive it. You open up a Rambam and he quotes you pasuk number 1. He says, this is prohibited as the Torah says, and he quotes pasuk number 1. And everyone says, what'd you do, Rambam? Wait a second. The Gemara says, you don't know it from there. So I said this answer for many years as my own thought, and later on I found it somewhere. Either the Kesef Mishnah or the Magid Mishnah, one of the commentaries says it on the Rambam. I found it last year in one of the commentaries on the Rambam somewhere. I'll try to look for it if it's important to you who says it, but I think it's a logical answer. The Gemara is working the way we just described. When I know nothing, how can I derive it? So from within the system, when I'm trying to figure it out, so then I have to allocate. This word teaches me this. That word teaches me that. The third word teaches me that. I started off with the pasuk 1 because that seemed to be the clearest indication. Then I said, no, from within the system, I got to use that for something else. Now, pasuk 2, I got to use that for something else. So how do I get it out of the system of the Torah? Now, that's a totally third pasuk. But you look at the pasuk, you say, that pasuk is not saying that. Yeah, I know. My laws of derivation teach me that's what the pasuk's telling me. So if my question is, where do I derive it from? That's what the Talmud's busy doing. So then I have to find the exact word, the exact derivation, whether you like it or not, this is where I got it from. But when I'm dealing Rambam, I'm not coming to teach you laws of derivation. Hey, go look in the Talmud if you want that. I'm telling you halacha. After the Gemara derives it from pasuk number 3, you look back at the psukim. Is it wrong to say that pasuk number 1 was saying that? I don't derive it from pasuk number 1, but the Gemara itself felt that pasuk number 1 more overtly says this concept. The Gemara just said, if you want to derive it from there, you can't do that. But now that I've derived it from pasuk number 3, do I have to shut my eyes to the fact that pasuk number 1 seems to be saying just that? So it would seem that not. And that, it seems, that's what the Rambam's doing when he often quotes psukim that the Gemara itself says are not the source for the halacha. The Rambam's not saying that's the source. You want to know how we derive it? Go look in the Gemara. But after the Gemara's derived it, that pasuk certainly seems to be saying that. And it wouldn't be wrong to say, this is the halacha here, look, the pasuk says it. You'll ask me derivations? Okay, so derivations, that's what the Talmud's there for, not the Rambam. You with me? This idea is not my own. The idea I got from Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, a late Rishon and Rashi. There's a Gemara that derives certain halachos in one way, our parsha even. And Rashi on the Torah switches it from the way the Gemara says it. So the Re'im, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, says this idea. He says, when you're trying to derive it, so then the order of derivation is that this word has to indicate that, and that word has to indicate that, and that word has to indicate that. You have three words, you're going in consecutive order of what's the smallest chiddush. You always work with the smallest chiddush. But now that you have all three halachos, you ask me pshat in the pasuk? Well, pshat in the pasuk, this word certainly sounds more like that. The discussion is toshav and sechir. Which one is a long-term servant, which one is a short-term servant? So the Gemara begins in the order of chidushim. Toshav is short-term, that he may not have truma. Sachir is long-term, even he may not eat truma. A long-term servant. But okay, now that I know this halacha, that long-term servants, short-term servants, they can't eat truma. Which word sounds like short-term and long-term? Toshav is he's living by you. Sachir is like hired help. So after I've derived it, so then along comes Rashi on the Torah. It's not that he had a different version of the Gemara. He's just explained to you pshat in the pasuk. He's not doing what the Gemara's got to do. The Gemara has to work in logical sequence. You first learn the smaller chiddush, then the bigger chiddush. The words don't necessarily mean that, right? But they can mean that. After I know both halachos, I come back to the pasuk and I say, but pshat in the pasuk, Toshav is talking about long and Sachar is talking about short. After I saw that Re'im and Rashi, I said, okay, so let's apply that to the Rambam. And then I saw one of the Nosei Kelim, if I'm not mistaken, says it in the Rambam.
Why would the Torah have something that's more obvious and yet not derivable? Or something that's less obvious and yet that's really derivable?
I don't like whys, but if we go back to Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah, and the Psikta de Rav Kahana on Torah Shebaal Peh that we discussed last week in the Intro to Judaism class, then you could say that that's part of the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh, not to make it easily accessible. You can try to work it on your own, you won't get anywhere. The Torah did not want to make it accessible. The Torah wanted you to have a tradition and to learn by a Rebbe, and has to be something you work on. You can't just open up a Tanakh and get it. You can't. We could say that. Well, we could say, we don't know. Back to our Rambam. So, the Rambam says, a fortiori, nimtzu, hagamal v'anevdash van v'chazir min hakatuv. The verse clearly says the camel, the different types of rabbits, the pig, they're prohibited. The shalbei matmea, how do you know all other defiled animals? Mikal v'chomer. From 40 ori, meaning said mitzvah to say shalein min hakatuv. The mitzvah to say, it says about the other animals. Mitzvah lo ta'aseh, how do I know the lo ta'aseh? Mikal v'chomer. Aval zeh kal v'chomer omnam hu legilui emilta be'alma. But the Kal Vachomer is just to reveal something, like the Talmud says about one's own daughter from a woman that was taken by force. The Gemara says it's talking about Bito Manusato. Whatever. We'll just say Bito. So he says, apply what I said there, what we saw a minute ago, Nitzvah Shin Lamed Vav. Apply that over here. That's the Gilui Milsa. That's just how do you reveal it from the Psukim. But really, it's all biblical. Anyone that eats a kazayis from an impure animal, I don't care what type of impure animal, whatever one it's going to be, he gets lashes biblically. Either Torah didn't say it, it's derived from a Kal V'chomer. So the Rambam will say, no, it's not derived from a Kal V'chomer. It's revealed from a Kal V'chomer. It's derived from tradition. Same way he said by his daughter. Yeah?
Okay. But, over
there, but here it doesn't say Guf Torah.
Yeah, it doesn't have that nice commentary. The more of the time we mentioned that this is the way the Torah revealed it. Right? That was the key.
That's why I showed you this. Because I didn't want you to stay on that point. Meaning,
so now he is not. Now he's working off of just...
Wait. No. So it could be, I'm not sure how to be medayik the Rambam, it could be that the Rambam learns that because the Sifra said that the Kal V'chomer teaches me harei hen belo ta'aseh, it didn't say the Kal V'chomer teaches me they're prohibited. The Kal V'chomer teaches me they are included in the prohibition. Maybe that wording is what revealed it to the Rambam. I don't know. Because if not for that, then I have to ask, hey, Rambam, how'd you know?
So there's some way, not necessarily as obvious as when they say it's Guf Torah.
Oh, that was my point, right.
But there's some way, thank you for explaining, I understand. That the words, the explanation of the I don't know, the writing process or something is telling you that it's a biblical.
Right. It doesn't have to be spelled out, and that's why the Ramban says the Rambam would be within his rights if he would say, okay, Kedusha Kesef, you proved it, so that's what the Talmud meant. Fine. So then the Talmud gave it away. It's biblical, but I still stick to my guns about every other derivation. Now we can see the Ramban. Now we understand why he's so concerned, why he's saying, I haven't proven anything yet.
But the Ramban himself said that it wasn't. What did he say?
Fine, the Ramban said Kedusha Kesef isn't. That's what the Ramban said in his letter. Fine. Okay, so the Ramban said, so the Ramban is saying, okay, so I disproved the Ramban on one point. That doesn't disprove the whole principle. Maybe they have the Rambam sitting here. Maybe he'd have an answer. Maybe he'd say, okay, you won on this one. But that doesn't disprove anything. It disproves one point. Kedusha Kesef. What about the whole principle? That's why the Ramban says, I got a problem. This fits with the Rambam's whole principle. Right? Right? Okay, that's what the Ramban's saying. Right? Now we can continue with the Ramban. Now, just for the sake of honesty, shouldn't think I know the Sefer HaMitzvahs by heart. I have a Seder in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and I happen to have learned that mitzvah two nights ago. The mitzvah of the prohibited animals. And when I was learning that, I knew it would be relevant whenever we get up to this, so I opened up the other mitzvah. And many years ago, when I was discussing this Rambam with Rav David Weinstein, he said, I said, according to the Rambam, it's Drabanan. He said, no, it's not. I said, what do you mean? He said, because his daughter is biblically prohibited according to the Rambam too. And I didn't know what he was talking about at the time. He quoted that and he said, don't tell me that's Pshat in the Rambam. That's not Pshat in the Rambam. And he didn't tell me what was Pshat in the Rambam. But he just quoted that and said, you see, that you got to learn a different Pshat in the Rambam. But that's when you talk to someone who's like so far away from you, it's like you don't even know the language he's talking to you. It's hard. Okay. Back to our Ramban. Aval, but says the Ramban, Ikau Shoshei HaTalmud, the prime root principle in Talmud, Shekol HaNidrash BaTalmud, BaAchat MeShloshesra Midot, that anything that is derived in the Talmud from one of the 13 laws of derivation, Kulan Divrei Torah, they're all words of Torah. And they are the explanation of the Torah that was given to Moshe at Sinai. Be it that the rabbis tell us this specific one they received at Sinai. Kigon shelamadnu mipi agvura dekidushin en bekesef. For example, you'll say, we heard from God that kiddushin can be done with something of monetary value, and the Torah reveals, alludes to the concept through the derivation of kicha kicha, uvishtar, and that a woman can be wed through a document, and they're alluded to in the Torah from the hekesh of the yatza v'aita. She leaves this husband, becomes the wife of that husband. All of that happens indicates that a woman can be married through a legal document. And the same will hold true with the prohibition of meat and milk. We'll say that Moshe was taught at Sinai she'asur ba'achila, that is prohibited to be eaten, and to derive any benefit from. Ben gdi b'chalev imo, be it the goat in its mother's milk. Ben shal be'ima b'chalav, be it any other animal milk, because technically it's all derived from the fact that it says three times, Lo tvashel gdi b'chalev imo. Ben shal be'ima b'chalav acher, be it any other animal and any other milk. V'ne'emar lo she'hen b'yin b'katuv m'ribuyeh mikrot. And Moshe was told that the verses indicated through the ribuy of the different verses. Uven she'ne'emru lo advarim stam. And could be, Moshe was told in general, this is the halacha. And then God says, okay, now go figure it out how you derive it from the Torah with the 13 laws of derivation. And the rabbis agreed with regard to every mitzvah how the derivation should work. Even though sometimes Chazal do say a derivation and it is not biblical, sometimes it is in a smachta. We already said that they question and they answer, and it's pretty explicit. You should be able to figure it out. You with us?
Yeah. Right at the bottom corner.
Ve'im. Ve'im yesh mehim stumot b'mikot b'mkomot mu'atim. And although there are places where the verses seem to be enigmatic, sometimes you don't know. When you learn Talmud, you realize you don't know. You realize there are areas that the Talmud did not define. Is it biblical or not? You have another Gemara that says, never take Gzera Shava lightly. The whole concept of Pigul is one of the bodies of Torah. Rambam enumerates it also, the prohibition of Pigul. Pigul is when a person brings a sacrifice with the thought to eat it out of its place. He thinks he's going to eat that animal in a location that's prohibited. That's what the Kohen thinks or states as he's doing the avoda. Didn't we see that inside? No, he's doing the avoda, and as he does it, he says, "I'm going to eat this animal." There are two types of pigul. One is that he says, "I'm going to eat it beyond the time that the Torah prohibits me to eat it." Permits me to eat it. And the other one is that he says, I'm going to eat this carbon outside the location that the Torah permits me to eat it. Why would he do that? No, it's a good question.
He's sacrificing in the right location, but he's not eating it in the right location?
Again?
He has thoughts
of eating it out of the right location.
All right, because it's carbon.
Where is it? Should be about here.
The Torah prohibition?
Correct, but it's derived from a Gzera Shava.
Remember we were talking about it.
We did, right? We looked it up inside.
Yeah.
We did learn this, right?
The prohibition that he continues to have these thoughts, that the thought pops into his head.
No, the prohibition is to have such a thought, and if he does, then the animal is disqualified.
Any time during the service or just the kind of street?
Oh, good question.
It's
so like that
don't think about the pink elephants. Right? And then all of a sudden he thinks about it and then he thinks about it.
Okay, so Rashi learns it means he says it. It's not just that he thinks it.
That's a huge difference.
Right. That makes it easier to learn all these sugyas. Okay, we learned this, right?
It's hard to convict or anything if he just thinks it.
Huh?
Hard to prosecute him. You'd say he's guilty if it's just thought. I mean, how is he supposed to tell what he's thinking?
I don't remember where it is exactly. We learned this. It's here, Beagle, Kuf Lamed Beis.
No, it's just possible. It's a biblical prohibition.
So, if he has a thought to eat it out of the proper time, so that is pigul. And the Rambam quotes, the Talmud increases, Al tigzra shava kala beinecha, shere pigul echad mekfei Torah ve'lo amdo ketuv ela bigzrat shava. And, so the Rambam quotes that here.
What is that lesson of lo kal beinecha?
I don't know.
Well, it's pretty obvious.
The Mishnah says there is a mitzvah kala. Here we're saying the gezera shava shouldn't be kal in your eyes. And the Talmud over there also says binotar when it comes to nosar. Nosar is meat that was left over beyond the permissible time. It's one of the bodies of Torah. And the whole derivation is from Gzera Shava. Talmud says it about the daughter he has from a woman he took forcibly. Same thing. The whole concept of giving the death penalty of stoning is all Gzera Shava, right? Most Yumas, our Parsha, Kulan, all those death penalties. How do you know which death penalty to give? The Torah just says execute him. How do you know which one to give? It's all Gzera Shava. K'mo shamrim b'gmar kfitut. So the Talmud increases, has a whole long list of things that have no source other than Gzera Shava. Hare Gzera Shava, ketorah Shava. The Gzeir Shava is equal to Torah. ולא לעניין פירוש מה שכתוב בתורה בלבד. What? הרי הגזרה שווה, the גזרה שווה is כתורה שווה, is equal to Torah. כתורה שלמה, that's what it says by U.S. Okay. ולא לעניין פירוש מה שכתוב בתורה בלבד, אליו להביא דבר מחודש שאינו כתוב בתורה. It's not only an explanation of what it says, it even teaches you a whole new concept that's not written overtly, כגון ביתום אנוסתו, like the daughter he has from a woman he took forcibly, ושאר הראיות הנלמדות בה, כגון אם חמותו ואם חמי, בת בת בינו ובת בן בנו, ומאמרים ומת בן בנו. And you have a whole new concept, whole situations that the Torah does not address overtly that are also prohibited through Gzeir Shava. Umamaram. And that, now so far the Ramban hasn't really proven anything the way it would seem. Because the Ramban will agree on every case that he gave that's biblical. Not only would, he does. He enumerates every one of those. No sir is enumerated, and the punishment of skill is enumerated, and
He knows this.
The Ramban knows that. Yeah.
So he's bringing this why?
Wait. he's saying step one, the general approach of Chazal is that Gzeir Shava is like it's written. It's not just an explanation. It's not just Moshe heard it and here you have a source for it. This is the general attitude of that Gemara, and that's the general attitude in Shas. Okay, I'm just pointing out all of these examples. The Rambam isn't scared by them because he'll agree to them. It says that it's a body of Torah. Okay, the Rambam says anywhere it says that, so I agree it's biblical. Okay, now we know what the Rambam was talking about when he says a body of Torah. That whole Gemara increases Hayam and Aleph. All these examples are on that page. And that which the Talmud says, don't ever take Gzeir Shava lightly. Yore, what are they saying? That's an indication. Shemazirin al kol Gzeira Shava shenidreshtem. They're talking about all Gzeira Shava. They're talking about the concept Gzeira Shava. They're not only talking about their examples. Ah, now he's starting to bring proof against the Rambam.
Rambam says that some of the Gzeira Shava is derived.
Yep. At least that's how the Ramban's understanding. Yes.
And is the Rambam learning from that Lashon of the Gemara that it's an indication it's a Torah?
Would you say Rambam or Ramban?
Rambam.
Yeah, what? Yeah, the Rambam will say, right, it says it's a goof Torah, what do you want?
He says, is he learning that from the fact that it's that they're saying on specific examples of Sheba that it should be Kaur and Echa? Is that his source for the goof Torah?
What is goof Torah?
No, it spells it out. These are Gufei Torah. The fact that the Talmud spells it out, so according to the Rambam, okay, so the Talmud told you, these are bodies of Torah. These are biblical. Don't think this is like any other Gzeir Shava. The Ramban says, wait a second, but there's an introductory verse here, that there's an introductory line. The Talmud says, don't ever take Gzeir Shava lightly.
Don't take it lightly, but does that mean that biblical?
Oh, so I think that we can say that at this point that the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban would be possibly that the Ramban says that when the Talmud says don't ever take a Gzeir Shava lightly, for you see these examples are bodies of Torah and their whole source is Gzeir Shava, that's an indication you should never take Gzeir Shava lightly because it's always a serious thing. The Rambam will say, no, it's always serious. It's not always biblical. That we're saying it's always serious. Don't think you can take it lightly because sometimes it's even biblical. But that's not a proof. I don't think that knocks the Rambam out. You know, little old me. But I think that's how the Rambam will learn that piece of Gemara. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Umamaram, and the way our sages worded it, lo lamal tigzira shava kala beinecha, don't ever take gzira shava lightly, yore, that seems to indicate, shemazirin al kol gzira shava shenidresh lehem, they're talking about every gzira shava they derive, velo sheilu bilvad mikar, they're not just saying these are fundamental, vekvar ilku ben sorer umore medin gzira shava, bat gzira shava, And when it comes to giving the lashes to Ben Soru Moreh, that's a Xerushava, the daughter of Xerushava. How so? Amru, the Talmud says, Makot Ben Soru Moreh Minayin. How do you know to give lashes to Ben Soru Moreh? Kid Rabbi Avu, like Rabbi Avu taught. Dama Rabbi Avu, Lamdu V'Yisru Mi V'Yisru, V'Yisru Mi Ben U'Ben Mi Ben. There's a derivation. You learn Yisru from V'Yisru, V'Yisru from Ben, and Ben from Ben. Zereshava from Zereshava, and...
Like a minion, right? Zereshava from Zereshava.
Okay.
Right.
I don't remember.
Edut and Benikdash, then Betok.
Adat,
and then Adat is also with... The spies.
Yeah. וגם הרב מודה שחייב מלכויות כולן דבר תוראין. וגם הרב מודה שחייבים מלכויות כולן דבר תוראין. The Rambam also agrees that all lashes are biblical.
Ben Sorma gets lashes?
Yeah.
I thought he got killed.
And then, the first we try to warn him by giving him lashes. That's step one. Step one is give him lashes, and hopefully he won't ever get killed. And then you send him back home. And then if he keeps doing it, then he could end up getting killed. And the Medrash says the following. The mere conversation of the servants of the forefathers is more beautiful than the Torah that we the children need. שרי פרשתו של אליעזר, שניים שלושה דפיני. The whole story of Eliezer, he takes the camels, he goes to the well, he talks to God, the girl appears, he goes and runs, she gives him to drink. She gives him to drink, he puts on the jewelry. He puts on jewelry, he asks her whose daughter she is. She tells him whose daughter she is, she runs back home. Her father brings him in, and he recounts the whole story all over again. Well, I came to the well, and I said to God, and God sent the girl, and the girl gave me to drink, and I put on the jewelry. What's going on here? Two or three pages, just the story. שהרי פרשתו של אליעזר שניים שלושה דפיני אמורה. The whole story of Eliezer takes two or three pages. והשרץ מגופי תורה. And the concept of these eight vermin that have defilement is a body of Torah. ואין דמו מטמא כבשרו. And the whole concept that its blood does not defile like its flesh. And you know how you know this? אלא מריבויי המקרא. You need a ריבוי to figure this out. וזה לכם הטמא. זה וזה. The fact that the Torah says, and this will be defiled to you, the Vav, indicates to you, whoa, wait a second. You have all the pages in the world to tell me stories about servants, but when I need to figure out halacha, I gotta go figure it out from one letter, and that's a pretty important halacha. Ah, you see how much more God loves the conversation of the servants, of the forefathers, and the details of halachas that we need to know. Wow. So, what do you see here? Megufei Torah, the Medrash says this is a body of Torah, and yet it's only derived from a ribui. The Rambam will stick to his guns. He'll say, yeah, the Medrash said it's a guf Torah. What do you want from me? It says it clearly, so I agree it's biblical. So the Ramban tries to bring a proof that all the 13 laws of derivation are biblical. And every proof he brought so far fits according to the Rambam too. The Rambam just says, okay, well, Chazal, we're telling you generalization, giving you one example. Well, the Rambam could learn it slightly differently, as we said all along.
The Rambam chooses to use examples as opposed to give, clouds.
He said his cloud. He said his point. He says he disagrees. Now he has to prove his point. The Rambam hasn't tried to prove anything. He just says, this is the way it is. The Ramban is coming after the Rambam and he's saying, no, it isn't. So he's got to prove it. And this time, every proof he's bringing, can, the way we see it, seems it can be answered by the Rambam.
Doesn't the Ramban know that?
I guess he does. Come on, huh?
So
let's see. He's in the middle of talking. Hey, he's got a whole long speech ahead of us. Still talking. We got a ways to go. And the same holds true for the remainder of the 13 laws of derivation, as remains to be seen, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time.